Welcome to the Global Leader Podcast, where we discuss all things related to leadership with leaders from around the world. My name is Laura Boyko, and I'm an experienced leader, coach, and therapist. I dig deep into leadership issues that our expert consultants from academia, research, and a variety of industries have encountered. I'm a leadership and team development consultant with Global Leadership Initiatives, and I've held leadership positions over the last 15 years in healthcare and education, leading, developing, and transforming over a dozen teams. As a social worker and certified coach, I love digging deep into how teams work and also how we as leaders can create engaging and supportive work environments. For those of you who are new to GLI, we're a Canadian leadership development organization with over 36 world-class expert consultants in leadership, sustainability, management, and team development from countries around the world like Canada, the US, South Africa, Russia, and China. GLI exists to develop excellence in leadership globally, and we do this through the 4I process of inquiry, intervention, impact, and iteration. This 4I approach to leadership development is achieved through the books we write, the courses we develop, the workshops, and podcasts like this one we deliver all the time. GLI leverages the best of leadership development theory and practice by bringing together a talented pool of highly experienced leadership development experts, researchers, and coaches from around the world. We hope to develop and positively impact organizational processes. For more great content, navigate to our membership website at globalleader.ca. So welcome to one of our inaugural podcasts for GLI, Global Leadership Initiatives. I'm here with Rob Elkington. He's the CEO of GLI, which is a Global Leadership Initiatives organization. He's the CEO, and GLI serves to develop excellence in leadership globally. Hi, Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Laura. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for the invitation. I'm really excited about our discussion today.
Yeah, so am I. So am I. Just let me give you all a bit of a background on Rob. So Rob Elkington has a PhD, and he serves on the faculty of various universities. So he's an adjunct professor at the Ontario Tech University in the Faculty of Social Science and the Faculty of Education. He's a senior lecturer at Stellenbosch University School of Public Leadership. He's also on Trent University Master of Management's program faculty. Rob has many publications. He focuses on leadership in a variety of areas such as technology, fundamentals, administration, strategic management, critical thinking, ethics, and I could go on and on about the various articles that he's written on these topics. Rob really excels in the area of VUCA. And if you haven't heard of VUCA before, we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But I wanted just to give you a sense of Rob's breadth and depth of knowledge around leadership and how he utilizes that. And through GLI, him and his expert consultants really try to be academically inclined and informed, but practitioner focused, so that the information that he's creating, the knowledge he's creating, is accessible for all leaders around the globe. So today, Rob has joined me not only as a faculty, but also as an ICF Flow certified coach and an MBTI practitioner. He has a range of books that he's published, book chapters, peer-reviewed articles. And I could go on and on about Rob's accomplishments. I know Rob to be a great colleague and teammate and all-around nice guy. So, Rob, we're going to jump right into some of the things that we're going to talk about related to a blog post that you wrote recently about VUCA, and you go on to describe it as VUCA Prime. So, in your blog post, when you're talking about VUCA, can you just tell us a little bit more about what VUCA is?
Yeah, thanks so much, Laura. And VUCA for us really emerged in around 2016. We realized that there was in organizations this real sense of tension around volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. Of course, we didn't have that handle for it at the time. And as we began to read and research, we realized that the American military had coined this phrase in the early 1990s to describe the new theater of war as volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And so we began to drill down on it. My colleagues and I, we began to talk about it, discuss it, read up as much as we could, and realized that this was really a useful handle to describe what was happening in business. And then we noticed authors such as Borwini and others who were writing on VUCA. And so we began to think about how we might help organizations to navigate this new volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous environment. And of course, now here in 2021 with COVID-19, I think VUCA is such an apt acronym. It gives us a handle to conceptualize what is going on in the world around us.
That's absolutely true. If there was ever a time right now where something could explain our world with COVID, with the pandemic, I think VUCA is a most appropriate term. Picking up on your definition of VUCA, haven't things always been volatile to some degree?
Absolutely. I mean, as one looks through history, you know, one thinks about, you know, World War I, World War II, you know, these cataclysmic events that we've experienced in the world, our world is volatile. It is uncertain. So I don't think anyone would argue that. I think what it is, though, is that the rate of change is exponential. What used to take a year now takes a week. What used to take a week now takes a day. And so as organizations, you know, the rapidity of change and the uncertainty that we face, I mean, a year ago, who would have expected that our businesses would be, you know, closed down? I was listening this morning. One particular sector has been closed for 10 months. Who could have anticipated that, planned for that, strategized for that? So it's not that the world has not been volatile. It's always been volatile. It's always been uncertain. But the rate of change and the uncertainty that prevails in a globalized, globally interconnected world is profound. And of course, we see that with COVID. COVID started in one part of the world and it spread extremely rapidly. Mm-hmm. Whereas, let's say 50 years ago, that spread would not have been that rapid.
Yeah, absolutely. We are more globally connected now than ever. And I think COVID-19 has really shown us that we can no longer just pretend that something that's happening on the other side of the world is not going to impact us. We definitely saw that in the last year and the impact that that has had on all of us. When you think about VUCA, why does this matter to organizations? And if so, how can we help them in a VUCA world?
Yeah, so it matters a lot because, when you think about it, it's really, I think, the difference between surviving and thriving and ultimately, you know, continuing to exist. If we don't anticipate VUCA, and there's so much literature around this. For instance, Patrick Lagodak's New Cosmology of Threats, in which he highlights that we need to build rapid reflection forces. We need to be able to see weak signals off in the distance that alert us to the fact that that there are problems that are emerging and try to anticipate that. And that's why we really need to shift to VUCA Prime, because VUCA Prime is going to differentiate organizations that thrive and survive and organizations that are weakened and ultimately undermined by the forces of VUCA. And so we can help organizations by capacitating them effectively through the elements of VUCA Prime. I used to think, Laura, that it was enough to articulate that VUCA existed. And I kind of thought organizations, if they realized that VUCA existed, would find a way then to navigate VUCA. But in working with organizations over the last 4 years, it's become very clear to me that we need to give them the antidote. Much like the way out of COVID is the vaccination, the way out of VUCA is the vaccination of VUCA Prime. And if we can vaccinate organizations with VUCA Prime, my belief is not only that they'll survive, but they'll actually thrive. And so that's why it becomes so pivotal to do that.
VUCA Prime. So you mentioned VUCA Prime as the antidote or the vaccine to VUCA. Where do we find VUCA Prime?
Yeah, so VUCA Prime has been articulated, I think, in an HBR article, I think it was. And, you know, I've picked up on really looking at how do we develop VUCA Prime. Again, it's not enough just to articulate its existence. We need to make it praxeologically, you know, that we can implement this in real life situations. So, you know, VUCA Prime is vision, understanding, clarity, and agility. And again, people will say, but our organization has a vision. Margaret Wheatley, in her book, Leadership in the New Science, says, you know, it's not enough to say we have a vision or even to have the plaque on the wall. Vision needs to become the living, breathing, animating force of the organization. And so one of the things I've been working on is how do I help an organization to create a vision that is organization-wide, that is something that becomes the living, breathing, animating force. And so for each of the VUCA Prime elements, we've developed tools or we've found tools that can be useful in that articulation. So for instance, to develop vision, we use appreciative inquiry, where we move through the whole appreciative inquiry process of the generative question. And then from there, you know, discovery, what do we do well? What have we been doing well? And then dream, you know, what if I were to fall asleep and in 10 years wake up and my organization was the best it could be, what would it look like? And then from dream, we move to design. Now that I know what I want my organization to become, how do we as an organization design for that? And then, of course, destiny. How do we implement that and measure it? The same with uncertainty. Uncertainty can be overcome with understanding. As per Lagodak, rapid reflection forces, using big data, critical thinking, to really gain a clear understanding of the terrain as it stands. If you look at British Petroleum just announced that they're moving away from fossil fuels. Shell Oil has been doing that now for several years. Why is that? Because their think tank very clearly saw that, you know, fossil fuels is just not the way of the future. Of course, that's very obvious to us now, but they are, with their think tank, looked way off into the distance with their rapid reflection forces and big data and specialists that looked at what is the data telling us. And then with complexity, we need clarity, you know, clear channels of communication. Once I know what I'm doing, how well do I communicate that to my stakeholders? And then agility arises through collaborative decision-making. And there we use the Vroom-Jago decision-making model to help organizations determine when it is that they need, you know, the leader needs to make the decision or the leadership, and when it is they need to collaborate. And that brings agility. So that's just a very quick thumbnail sketch of how we implement VUCA Prime for organizations.
Mm. You were talking a little bit about the uncertainty of our world nowadays. And with VUCA, it makes me think a little bit about like the stock market. You can't predict the stock market. You know, people really say it's long-term investment. You can't pivot super quick these days and in organizations. And you're suggesting here with VUCA Prime that with these things such as vision offsets volatility, understanding offsets uncertainty, clarity offsets complexity, and agility offsets ambiguity. Using these four pillars, how can we sort of be able to predict our future or manage our future?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say to you that we cannot. And that's become very clear. I was listening to world-renowned journalist the other day in a podcast articulating from a book that she's just written that you actually can't predict the future. And for us to think that we can is fallacious. So I would say, you know, this is where we build scenarios, and that's why experimentation at the margins is so pivotal. Mm-hmm. When you look, for instance, if I were to use Shell Oil as the example, by the time fossil fuels cease to exist, they will have alternative modalities of fuel, of energy. And we'll all look at that and say, wow, Shell is so agile. But really, the reality is they've been experimenting at the margins, testing various modalities so that when the context fits a modality, they'll have that modality ready to scale. So I would say to you, we can't predict the future. What we can do is we can build scenarios, look at through the data, what are the weak signals off in the distance? What are some ways we can experiment at the margins so that we can have areas that are ready to deploy when the potential reality emerges that we've looked at, one of several realities. Mm. Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing from you is that there's, you know, you can't predict the future unless you're a psychic clairvoyant, and, you know, sure would be nice to have one of them on the podcast and find out if they, you know, called this pandemic. I haven't heard anybody come forward and say that, but you know, it sounds like VUCA gives us a way forward to have some control in the uncontrolled environment. Sort of having a platform of thinking about things. Yes, it is volatile. Yes, it is uncertain. Yes, it's complex and ambiguous. But with these pillars, you know, this is how we're going to forge forward. And I love how you said experimentation at the margins, that this is the way the world is right now. Innovation is key, and that we have to continually and innovate. And we're on a journey of continuous improvement in many organizations, because we can no longer stay stagnant and static as the status quo, because something's going to come along and innovate past us. I mean, look at Elon Musk and the self-driving cars. Like, who would have thought 20 years ago that that would be possible? And, you know, what else is going to be created forward from here?
Exactly. And I think Elon Musk is a great example among others. So if you were to take a negative example, if you think of vision, the power of vision, vision helps us to make sense of what is not sensible. And for leadership, sense making is so pivotal, because that's what keeps our organization motivated, focused. So you think of Kodak. Kodak's vision was all about cameras. And really, imagine if Kodak had said, our vision is about making memories. They would have been able to adapt and pivot very quickly to the new digital domain had they had a different focus. And that vision would have then enabled experimentation at the margins, because people would have said, well, what are some other ways we can make memories beside 35mm film? But because they were so constrained and so constricted in one focus, they weren't able to think innovatively and with agility outside of the box. When you look at Elon Musk and the plethora of innovations and inventions that he has, you know, he and his team, and I have to say his team as well, have brought to bear or brought to pass, a lot of that is because his vision is very broad. It's much more about the survival of humanity than it is even about profit or profitability. And I think that broad vision helps those in his organization to make sense of what they're doing. This is why we're doing it. And it also then gives a lot of space for experimentation at the margins, for invention and innovation.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so important to point out, that leaders and leadership is about making sense in a world that sometimes doesn't make sense, or even in organizations when, you know, there's a directive handed down or a change that's been handed to leaders to enact, and those followers underneath those leaders often are looking to their leaders to say, hey, help me make sense of this situation. So this is a great model to be able to help leaders explain things and guide the team, guide the ship, if you will, in a way that makes sense. You discuss the organization as a complex adaptive system in your blog. Why is this important for VUCA and VUCA Prime?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it is really important. It's a vast question. I'll try to just give a few key pointers. But when we think of the organization as a complex adaptive system, it's complex because it's made up of many parts. And so vision again brings those many parts into a cohesive whole. It's adaptive because it's continually changing both to internal and external forces. And of course, the external forces are VUCA driven. But we also need to understand that it's adaptive because within that complexity, those who make up the complexity, the people who are a part of that organization, themselves are acted upon by external systemic realities. They're part of a family system. They're part of an economic system. All of that they bring with them to the organization when they arrive. And so we need to be aware of that. We pay a lot of attention, I read once, to the emotions people show at work, but we don't pay attention to the emotions they bring to work. And I think when we understand that we're working with a complex adaptive system, the organization is a living organism. It's not static. It is impacted by these internal and external forces. So how do we as leadership, adapt to that and act upon that and act with that? And then the idea that it's a system simply means that it's designed for a purpose. A system works best when it's accomplishing the purpose for which it was designed. You know, so Air Canada is designed to transport people from one place to another. It's working best when it's accomplishing that design. However, it's a complex adaptive system because it has pilots, it has ground crew, it has, you know, air crew. And if any one of those is not functioning optimally, it can impact the organization in a very detrimental way. And we've seen that. You know, I'm just using the airline industry. You could pick any industry. A few years ago, Maple Foods, I had a tremendous challenge on their hands because one worker in one processing plant didn't wash their instruments. And there was this massive recall and people got really sick. That impacted the image of Maple Foods. So it's a complex adaptive system, and we have to, you know, build policy, bureaucracy, administration that really aligns everything well. And that's, again, where our vision, our understanding, our clarity, and our agility become so important to protecting and sustaining that complex adaptive system, that living organism that is the organization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I come from a background in healthcare, and I think, you know, that's in our news feeds every single day about how healthcare has become a very complex and adaptive system with COVID. Some might argue not so great. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of innovations in our healthcare system, not just at the hospital level, but right through to family doctors doing, you know, video calls and telephone calls, making healthcare much more accessible, you know, in the middle of a crisis. What do they say? Never waste a good crisis. You know, I think healthcare has been able to take advantage and innovate in the middle of COVID because of the need to innovate. We didn't have the luxury of resting on time and space. This, you know, the virus moved too far and too quickly for us to say, hey, let's take 3 years to develop a vaccine. You know, you talk about the emotions that we bring to work, and certainly that is something that we need to be paying attention to as leaders. How do we support our teams as they're coming back into the workplace? And I think VUCA will still be living with us as we return to the workplace, and whatever that looks like, hybrid or working from home or a full return to the workplace. How do you think, Rob, we could apply VUCA Prime in today's context of the pandemic and managing COVID-19 in our workplaces?
That's a massive question and a big question. I think first of all, we need to return to this notion within VUCA Prime and the organization as a complex adaptive system, that people are not a means to an end. People are the end. In other words, people are the greatest resource we have in our organization. And that's why we want to use appreciative inquiry as the vision-making, vision-casting tool. Because in appreciative inquiry, everybody participates. Everybody articulates the strengths that the organization has. And we focus not on the weaknesses, but on the strengths that those people bring to the organization. So the first thing I would say is, let's recreate. You know, we're hearing this a lot. Why not revisit our vision statement? But now, let's not do it as a top-down vision statement that the leadership has to sell. When I look at healthcare, and that's such a wonderful example, Laura, and I'm, you know, so grateful. I have a family member who, you know, is in healthcare. Some of my best friends are in healthcare, and they've sacrificed a lot and they've innovated a lot over this time. Imagine if we could get everybody that's involved to forge a vision statement within a healthcare unit. This is the vision statement for our healthcare unit. How much more engaged and holding a sense of ownership everybody would have if they were the ones who together co-constructed that vision statement based upon an appreciative inquiry approach, where they looked at what have we done well? And based upon what have we done well, what do we want to become in this new world of VUCA? And then understanding, you know, Tungus said, with big data, anyone in the organization at any time can become a leader if they are leveraging the big data and they help the organization to make sense of what's coming down the pike. So imagine if we could create real levels of understanding by creating rapid reflection forces that are feeding information through to the leadership, not leader as human capital, but leadership as social capital, feeding that information through and then working with everybody to make sense of what's happening. together in this new COVID-19 environment. And so I think each of those is there. And then clarity. I cannot tell you the amount of leaders I've heard, and not just leaders, but people in organizations that say, why wasn't this communicated to us? Like, could they not just have informed us? We will support them. We just didn't know. And now we're frustrated. We're in a sense upset because there wasn't clarity. Clarity trumps complexity every time, even if you're clearly wrong. So be clearly right. Communicate to everybody in the organization. Why? It's a complex adaptive system. And if one part of the organization is weak, that will weaken the entire organization. And then agility. Work towards collaborative decision-making. Work towards drawing in the tremendous resource you have in the people. But know when to do that and when not to do that. And again, that's where the Vroom-Jago matrix is one of many helpful tools that can help us. So I think you're right. Liminality leads to communitas, which leads to emergence. And in this liminal context, we have a great opportunity to leverage VUCA Prime to change our organizations.
Rob, you have distilled a very complex concept very clearly. I want to thank you so much for joining me today to talk about VUCA and VUCA Prime and how it connects to our world today in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of our work as leaders and in leadership. I know that our audience will definitely learn from you today and take that away and be able to apply that in their own work. Thank you so much for joining us. I just want to also let people know that globalleader.ca is the website for global leadership initiatives, of which Rob Elkington is the CEO. As a member of GLI, you have access to all of the courses, webinars, podcasts that are produced out of GLI. Rob is also a flow coach and has a group of expert consultants and coaches as part of GLI that are available should you need additional leadership support. We look forward to having more guests on our webinars and our podcasts. And if at any point in time you would ever like to be a guest on the GLI podcast, please reach out to us. And we'd love to have more global leader conversations. Thanks again, Rob. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Thanks so much, Laura. It's been great to be with you. And I'm excited about this inaugural podcast. It'll be great to get feedback from the audience, and so looking forward to hearing from them and their comments. Thanks so much, Laura.
Great. Thanks, Rob.